Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramon core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the Ringo Starr to my Pete Best, so up on this yellow submarine, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Doing all right this Wednesday afternoon. I believe it is the first night of the second season of Lucha Underground, so I'm mildly excited for that.
No, it is not. It is not. It starts next week.
Don't take away my excitement.
It's the 27th. I can't. I don't want you to get hyped up and then be hurt when you go there and it's not there and you blame them. You never watch it again? I don't want that to happen to you.
Well, maybe they would air it in case someone were to watch tonight. You don't know that.
I don't think so. They're going to be airing a marathon of season one, I believe.
That might be enough to trick me. And did you know that marathon sandwiches and coffee are Beast Barnett's bag?
I did know that. I didn't know that. I was having some problems with the Skype gimmick earlier. Took me a minute to get on here. That's why the beginning ran longer. Letting the fans know what the deal was, you know.
Team Paisley was probably worried.
Yeah, I started to call in, and then the Skype started working, so we saved the day, we saved the day, we saved the day. So, sign guy, what's the scuttlebutt around that water cooler, brother?
The scuttlebutt is your favorite ice cream of all time is Edie's Mint Chocolate Chip Ice Cream.
I can handle that. However, there are two Edie's flavors that I know right offhand that I prefer. Would you like me to fill you in?
I don't know, because this sounds shaky, because everyone knows your absolute favorite is the mint chocolate chip. It was confirmed.
No, it was not confirmed. I said that was a fine choice, but as I thought about it...
Well, the right answer is always a fine choice.
The right answer would be the Edie's peppermint ice cream with the little pieces of peppermint chunks in it. That's my favorite ice cream. Also, choice number two would be Edie's pumpkin pie ice cream, which tastes exactly like this pumpkin ice cream I used to get at the Cow Palace in Columbus before it closed.
Do you ever go up to Shelbyville to go to the actual Cow Palace?
Nope.
Well, maybe you can still get this ice cream there.
Or I can just get it whenever Edie's puts it out around Christmas time.
But you said it's not the same. You said it was exactly like, but it was not it.
This is true. It's not exactly the same. And I can't also get... it's hard to get a scoop of... they used to have this great bubblegum ice cream at Cow Palace, too, that you can't really find anymore.
That was like an exclusive, there's like independent ice cream shops all over the country that served the Superman, which was basically just dyed vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, but I said bubblegum.
Well, I'm talking about the Superman one.
Superman is gross. We all know this. We all got it at some point, but it was gross.
It was fine. It was vanilla ice cream with collar on it.
Yeah, that's boring. I want my bubblegum ice cream that's bright pink with a bunch of chunks of bubblegum in it. And then I want my pumpkin pie ice cream. And then I want my peppermint ice cream with chunks of candy cane and peppermint candy in it.
Well, maybe if you ventured up to Shelbyville, you could get all of that at the Cow Palace.
It's quite possible. But I do believe that those three that I just listed off would be my favorite ice creams. How about, what's your favorite Dairy Queen Blizzard of all time, sign guy?
Let's see, I'd go with the Oreo, I guess.
Really? You're just going boring-ass old Oreo?
It was innovative and exciting at one point in time.
It is not anymore, though. Let me tell you about my two favorite Blizzards that no longer exist. Well, there's three, honestly. And they're my favorite ever. All-time Blizzard was the Nerds Blizzard. Did you ever have a Nerds Blizzard?
I believe I had one years ago.
The day they took that away from me was not a very good day. Now, my next favorite that they got back for a while this summer was the Cotton Candy Blizzard. Did you ever try it?
No.
Oh, brother, those little... It was the best because it was cotton candy flavored ice cream, and then they had these tiny little cotton candy chunks in it. Oh, it was so good. Third favorite, no longer exists, would be the Yukon Cruncher. The Yukon Cruncher, sir.
That sounds like if Larry Zbysko were to go up into Canada, he could use that as his gimmick.
Yeah, or Flapjack Norton. That could be his finisher, the Yukon Cruncher.
That wouldn't be bad.
Let's see. The recipe, here's what the Yukon Cruncher had in it. I know it had Rice Krispies in it. I'm trying to see. I can't remember exactly what all it had in it, but, oh, it was a little slice of heaven, brother. I'll tell you that much. Man, I can't find. I had the Rice Krispies. Did you ever try a Yukon Cruncher? How about that one?
I'd never even heard of it until 2 minutes ago.
Oh. It had. Oh, here we go. Yeah, no wonder I loved it. It had vanilla ice cream as its base. Then they threw in those Rice Krispies. Apparently, they were Rice Krispie treats, not just Rice Krispies. Then hot fudge, and then what I need on every single sweet I eat, that sweet marshmallow cream. Mm. Mm. What do you think about those Malo cups? How do you feel about those?
Not a fan. Not a fan.
What? How? Why? It's just, it's delicious marshmallow cream with a little touch, a little dusting of coconut mixed in it to give it a little texture. They toss that in a goddamn chocolate cup, and then you get to eat it.
I was never a big fan of the marshmallow. Never a big fan.
How?
Nor is QT. QT's terrified of it.
Oh, this makes me filled with rage. Marshmallow's my favorite. Beth got me a giant bag of just the marshmallows from the Lucky Charms for Christmas. I love marshmallows, and I love marshmallow cream, and if there's not marshmallow sauce on the ice cream from Dairy Queen, I'll throw it in the goddamn trash. That's a shit.
Wow. So you put that marshmallow cream on your nerd blizzard.
I would. I didn't.
Well,
mind.
If not, you said you would throw it in the garbage. So are you saying if they did not put the marshmallow cream on your nerd blizzard, it just ended up in the garbage?
I'm saying now it would in 2016. If they brought that nerd's blizzard back, I'd say, scoop in all the goddamn marshmallow cream you have behind that counter, you little Dairy Queen, and make me my nerd's blizzard. So that's what I would say.
Well.
Yeah.
Now, would you ever go to the Edinburgh Dairy Queen and yell at them there for marshmallow cream? Because I'm sure they have a lot there. It's probably all they got.
and meth. marshmallow cream and meth. I went to that Dairy Queen occasionally. It would be, say, I was at my father being forced to go fishing. We might go there after fishing.
Now, what did he get?
Oh, he was a big marshmallow fan, too. He liked to get either just a marshmallow shake, which those are phenomenal, or like a blueberry marshmallow sundae. So he was a marshmallow man, too. He also liked a peanut buster parfait.
Interesting. Now, is he a big fan of the peanut butter pie flavor from Haagen-Dazs?
I cannot confirm or deny that, but I can confirm he is a big fan of the peanut butter pie that Beth makes, and so I'm going to guess he would like it, yes.
Can we get confirmation next week from him? Can we, like, somehow get to him and have him give us his opinion on said peanut butter pie ice cream from Haagen-Dazs?
I can put in word with my family to see if we can confirm or deny his enjoyment of the Haagen-Dazs peanut butter pie variety of ice cream.
All right, so now this isn't going to be like the whole grandfather debacle where you just forget.
It probably will be.
Well, that would hurt me in my left kidney.
Well,
I'm really curious now if he would enjoy it or not. I really got to find out.
Now, favorite Dairy Queen to venture to in your younger years, which one did you prefer in this area?
Prefer probably would be the Columbus one, although my grandparents lived. They lived near Flat Rock, so we would hit the Edinburgh one more regularly.
Yes, it's not a very good one. We can agree to that.
Yes. Did you know that years and years and years ago, my mother actually worked at that Dairy Queen?
Really?
This is like many, 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 many decades ago.
She worked there, huh?
Yeah.
She was a Dairy Queen. Is that what they called them? Dairy?
probably. But, yeah, it was like not quite like it was in recent years. It was, you know, kind of a drive-up deal where you just drove your car there and then they brought it to your car on the little tray.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Served it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dairy Queen's had some good stuff over the years. I think my favorite Dairy Queen is the one on 20th Street. That doesn't. No, I'm going to go with the 3rd Street location. No,
you
got to
sample the
go.
Fried mushrooms at the 3rd Street location.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to go back and say the one that used to exist at 25th Street was by far the best Dairy Queen. With the clown that waved his arm, that was by far the best one.
You used to punch the clown, didn't you?
That's a personal question, sign guy. Take it easy, brother.
Well, I know you went up to that clown and say, "What are you doing, you clown geek?" And then you just punched it. And the workers across the counter would say, "Please don't punch our clown." He'd say, "Are you Dairy Queen geeks going to stop me with your marshmallow cream and your hot fudge?"
And they would, because they would give me the marshmallow cream and it would stop me. Oh,
see, I pretty much nailed it. I was right as usual.
Yeah, the 25th Street location, was that probably your favorite one?
Yeah, I would have said that probably.
Yeah, I miss it. It was that sign was legendary. Maybe I'll find a picture and post it on the Facebook page for Zane Paisley to look at, because he's the only person that's possibly listened to 15 minutes of us talking about fucking Dairy Queen.
Now, can you confirm what your favorite Baskin-Robbins flavor is? We'll go with all time.
No, I cannot. We never really had a Baskin-Robbins in Columbus. We did for a while, but it left, and I haven't had Baskin-Robbins since it left, which was probably, I don't know, it's probably closing on 20 years ago.
Wow.
So I don't, Baskin-Robbins wasn't a huge stop for us. I liked it. It was fine. I know they make some great concoctions, specialties for movies and TV shows and stuff. But, you know who I'm really into these days? I really like that Cold Stone Creamery. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, they got a couple in this area, but you got to go kind of far north. But the Baskin-Robbins were plentiful. On free scoop night, if you mapped out strategy and you worked hard, you could get upwards of 10 free scoops of ice cream in a 2-hour span.
But what about the 31?
That would have took probably too much time driving. But realistically, you could easily hit 10.
You know, I'm really... We got this little place called Yo Mama's yogurt shop, and they have this toasted marshmallow yogurt. Then you get like the gallon tub of it. Then you load it up with all your, like... what do they call those little juice beads that are in bubble tea? You know what they're called?
No.
You know what I'm talking about, though. I just load those up in that toasted marshmallow. Oh, man, that's a delight. It costs like $25, but it's delicious.
$25 for frozen yogurt.
Yeah, it's very expensive, but, oh, man, toasted marshmallow, man. I said, I'm a marshmallow man. I'll go on record and say that I am a marshmallow man, brother. I bet probably percent of my entire body's existence is marshmallow.
Wow.
I eat a lot of marshmallows, man. They're good for you. There's a lot of... you know, there's a lot of gelatin in there. That's bones. They strengthen your bones. It's like a good for your bones.
All right.
What have we done here?
I don't know. That was the most scuttlebutt around any water cooler in history.
Well, we don't really have a lot to do. So, speaking of next week, I've got a guest for us, Sonny Guy. What do you think of that?
I think that'll be tremendous, unless it's, you know, someone that sucks.
They might. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It is Mr. Sean Berkey. He's an actor. He's a former wrestling ring announcer. He is the goddamn king of karaoke. He's going to be starring some movie in March called Bigfoot 2. What do you think Bigfoot 2 will be about, Sign Guy? It's apparently a Ricky Ruckus production. What do you think Bigfoot 2 will be about, besides Ricky Ruckus's foot fetish?
Oh, it'll be a Ruckus production? Well, then it won't really actually ever happen.
It's about his foot fetish. You know he has a big foot fetish.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be about a bunch of pig's feet.
I would have thought it was about the gas station.
No, it's pig. P-I-G foot.
Oh, pig.
Pig.
Okay.
You remember Little Champ? No, that was a gas station.
I don't. Now, I worked with Sean Berkey, as a matter of fact. He used to ring announce for me.
Really? Where at?
Who's your pro wrestling?
Oh, that's right. Worse. Yeah, so he's going to be joining us next week. We'll see if he's able to stay on the show. I know he's not a regular watcher of it, but he's going to watch it next week and join us, and we'll see how that goes.
All right.
He's an interesting fella. We can all agree to that. He's very interesting.
Yes.
Real wacky. Real wacky fella. Is it rude to someone's wacky? I'm not sure.
I don't think so, unless, you know, it's someone that's questionable as far as whacking goes.
Well, that guy, I could talk about ice cream all night. Dad, why don't you hit that music?
All right, and also if Zane Paisley fails to produce a meme that says total scoops, I'm going to lose faith in that man, but here we go.
And I'm a marshmallow man. Transcribe said scene, and we recreated for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy as John Cena. And I will be Nikki Bella and C. Hi, handsome.
I love you.
I love you, too. Such a good man. And scene. What was this?
This was a scene where Nikki Bella had failed miserably to learn the mistakes of her past that we just covered in season 2. She went to John Cena to tell him Dolph Ziggler was making a play for her, and it disparaged the good name of John Cena. But when she got to John Cena, as he was about to do an interview with Renee Young, the words came out, "Hi, handsome," and then no mention of Dolph Ziggler, none at all. Didn't mention it. She's like, "Oh, I'll tell him when they're in a tag team match in Japan."
Now, I'm just going to start this. I'm going to talk about my number one. I'm going to talk about the person I hate, abhor, loathe, detest in Brie Bella. Brie Bella is the absolute worst human to ever take a single breath of air. There has not been one person in the history, of mankind that has been worse than Brie Bella. She is literally, legitimately the worst person ever. So, as you referenced, we had the Dolph Ziggler with Nikki, which we'll get into more deeply. And Nikki is nearly sexually assaulted by this creep. And Nikki slaps him, she leaves, she goes to find her sis, talk about it. Brie has to pull out the, what did I tell you? I knew it. I'm so smart. I'm so great, bit. Your sister was just fucking sexually assaulted, and you're more concerned with being right? Fucking piece of garbage. Your sister was sexually assaulted by a creep, and you're tossing your hands in the air, stomping around, going, I told you. I told Nikki. I told you. I'm the smartest. And then comes the scene that filled me then with so much goddamn rage. Like, I was already hot. I was already a hot sign guy. And then came the scene. Remember the scene when Brie Bella's with Natalya?
Yes.
Ugh. And you remember what they start talking about?
They were talking about the bra that was flipping the bird to Natalya.
That was part of it, but then what did they get into more in depth? Do you remember?
Mark Carano and his ideas.
No. Brie Bella starts telling fucking Natty, fucking Natalya Neidhart, about what it's like having a spouse go through a possible career-ending injury. Fucking Brie Bella starts telling Natty about this shit. Natty spent most of this very goddamn show dealing with her husband at home with a destroyed leg that might never fucking do anything again. And dealing with the ramifications of all that. And then Natty just accepts Brie's fucking input as if it was possibly even remote needed. Natty's lived this way. And we know Brie watches this goddamn show and know Natty's gone through this because there's no way on earth that fucking narcissist piece of shit doesn't watch herself constantly. So that makes it even more ridiculous that she's sitting here telling Natty, I know how hard it is to go through a husband that's just... And Natty should have fucking just spit in her face, kicked her right in the fucking teeth and walked out of there. That made me livid, son. Yeah, livid. How'd you fuck that part?
Well, Natty, she probably didn't know what it was like, because Natty was too busy, like, bossing TJ around. You know how she did, like, the last episode, when she's yelling at him to do this and do that, and TJ's just, like, broken shell of a man, and poor Ellie's at her wit's end. She's terrified to go near her own daughter. She can't even find the exit of the bedroom.
All right, pump the brakes. We'll get to Natty in a minute. I'm not done with Brie Bella.
Well, I'm making a point on Brie.
Okay, get to your point, because I wrote 3 pages on Brie.
And so Natty, she didn't really know what it was like, so Brie had to explain, oh, here's what it's like. When Brie has no idea what it's like, because Brie thought they were going to be destitute and out on the street the last time he was injured. And she's like, oh, well, tomorrow we'll not have a penny to our name, so I better make sure John Cena gives us $1 million, because that'll be the only income we have. That wasn't true.
No. And that's back into where I really just lost my mind. Because we get into this stuff about Daniel Bryan injured. And Brie Bella spends this episode trying to talk her husband out of goddamn wrestling ever again. until they have their 30-second conversation and she realizes she was wrong and stops. So here's what happens. Daniel Bryan understands that wrestling is why people like him. And he knows he needs to be wrestling or people are going to forget about him. I mean, he's still on the goddamn show, so that keeps him out there. But without wrestling, he's going to start to be forgotten. He's not going to be in the public eye as much. It's just what's going to happen. So Brie, her fucking great idea is to tell him that he needs to find something else to do. That career's over. And that there's something he can do. And that it's not selfishly for her. No, it's not for her. It's not for her goddamn unborn children that may never even fucking exist. This fella just wants to goddamn wrestle. It's all he's ever wanted. And she doesn't fucking get it. And then she tries to... Okay. Oh, my God. And then she tries to force her fucking husband to do this goddamn Brie box bullshit where they just send out a big fucking box full of all these garbage-ass stupid shit things that Brie Bella loves so much. She wants to put... Dave fucking Bryan, one of the top stars in wrestling for the last few years, she had to put this man to work in a goddamn sweatshop just putting together these fucking boxes of Brie Bella, Brie Box bullshit. She wants this man to stop wrestling, forget about all his dreams, every desire in his life, and work in a goddamn sweatshop for her. And when she doesn't, he doesn't be a part of her goddamn sweatshop, of course, because it's stupid. She's pissed at. She doesn't understand. She can get it that his passion in life isn't selling bullshit fucking hippie-ass fucking organic goddamn coffee grinders to fucking dumbasses in nowhere towns. That's the passion selling bullshit. Passion's professional wrestling. That he's fucking basically ruined his life entirely for, and she doesn't get it. And if he can't wrestle, it's not like he can't do other things in the goddamn wrestling business. They've talked before about him running a goddamn school training people. You think he couldn't get a job working in NXT, being a fucking trainer? I got so mad. And then this fucking idiot keeps it going. She doesn't just want him working in a sweatshop, putting together these boxes full of goddamn pieces of shit. This fucking idiot thinks she can have Daniel Bryan working at some goddamn booth at a tiny fucking farmer's market. Daniel Bryan working a booth at a fucking farmer's market. Oh my God. Oh my God. So I didn't like it very much, guy.
Would you have liked it better if he just worked the booth and not the actual sweatshop part of it?
Oh, it's still fucking stupid. He's an enormous goddamn... It's going to cause a fucking mass of humanity to show up at the fucking dumbass farmer's markets and equipped to handle. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. And she should be smart enough to know that that's what's going to happen. But she thinks so little of her goddamn husband that she thinks he can go work this fucking dumbass farmer's market, sell these stupid-ass boxes to, like, 10 people. No one's going to care that fucking goddamn Daniel Bryan's just right there.
Now, do you think that maybe she did this as a way to make herself the bigger star? She's like, how can I make Daniel Bryan completely irrelevant while Brie Bella becomes the huge star?
I absolutely think, because the whole thing's about making these goddamn Brie boxes. It's never about him. It's never about something together. It's always about her doing this shit for her. What she wants is passions. It's not about his life. It's about her. Let's build the Bella brand bigger while you just fucking go work this little geek fucking farmer's market and no one ever sees you again, like some fucking Nosferatu fucking Quasimodo troll that's just cast away because your neck has, or you've had a few concussions. So fuck off. Fuck this stupid idiot. Fuck this show. God damn it. I'm so mad, kid.
In Indianapolis, are you going to ask him if you can buy one of the Brian boxes?
Yes. I'll say, where are the Brian boxes that you were making to sell at your farmer's market, sir? And I'll say, how are you married to this goddamn fucking idiot? This fucking woman's a piece of shit. You fucking know it. I watch this goddamn show. I see the way you look at her. She's stupid as hell. You know, her sister's dumb as hell. You hate her fucking family. You can't stand this woman. She barely let him get a fucking shitter that to compost his fucking shit. I mean, why can't he just live his life?
That's got to be the third in the order for you to ask.
So the first question is, where's the Brian box? And then
No. That's third.
Okay. What first?
The first you're going to ask if he remembers the time he hung out with me at Lake Forest Park.
Number two, if he remembers going to Taco Bell with me.
Yeah.
And then number three will be that entire rant that just happened.
Yes.
I just started screaming at him. All right. So, Sanga, did you hate? Did you want to say anything about that?
Well, I agreed with most of that. Now, the problem with Brie Bella, she's like, oh, well, you need a new passion. And he's like, well, I'm comfortable with the ones I have. And she's like, yeah, I don't think I am. I'm going to give you a new passion. I'll just assign you a passion. And she's like, I like farmer's markets. I'll make you work in my farmer market merchandise stand. And he's like, I don't like to sell people stuff, and I'm socially uncomfortable. And she's like, perfect. That's your new passion in life. That was a little odd. And then when he tries to put her in a, like, submission hold.
The rear choke?
No, it was like some sort of cross arm breaker.
Yeah.
And she's just like, wouldn't sell for it. She's just laying there.
Yeah.
She's selling for Josie the dog.
Yes.
But not this cross arm breaker from Daniel Bryan.
Yes, that was ridiculous. And then there was when the naked was when they were at their they were at dinner or something. She goes, I thought you were gonna put a rear choke on me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this woman is married to Daniel Bryan, a guy that trains with some of the top guys in mixed arts regularly now. He watches that stuff constantly, and she doesn't know the move is fucking called a rear naked choke. Jesus Christ, I hate her.
Now, what's going to happen if she accompanies Daniel Bryan to Indianapolis?
I'll spit right fucking face.
No, that was the emu. We discussed that 2 weeks ago.
I'll spit in Brie Bella's face, too. She's a piece of shit. Put it down in writing, because that's what I'll do.
Could you also maybe slip her one of our cards? Maybe she'll come on to debate this.
Sounds like a good idea. I'll send her face, I'll tell her she's a piece of shit, and then I'll tell her about total dudes.
That sounds reasonable.
None of this is reasonable. I'm a dick. So who do you hate?
Number one, I had Natty. Far and away, way above anyone else.
No, but okay.
Yeah.
I have her on the list.
She infuriated me. To start, she goes into the sneezing fit, and when they're trying to ask if she's okay, she just like has this completely other subject that had no relationship to what they actually asked her.
Yes.
Which I hate when Natty does that. They'll say, Natty, do you want to go get a hamburger? And she'll be like, my mom's dress had an ink stain on it, and I didn't know how to get it out. Just stupid stuff like that. That infuriates me.
Oh, there was something that infuriated me. I think you're getting to it.
And then they were talking about the whole Divas Revolution thing, and Natalya acted like she was like this major contributing factor to it and created it. She wasn't even in it. Not at all.
Not at all. She had a
not at all.
something.
She was like gone, that entire Divas Revolution thing that they tried, but she acted like she was like the person that put it together and it was the focal point of the entire thing. She was not, most assuredly not. But then the thing that completely infuriated me.
I'm sure this is it.
She gets to the house.
Yep.
And TJ's there, but they don't know that. He's apparently invisible to them. But she shows up with Ellie and Jim.
Yes.
And she starts talking about TJ's surgery and what they're going to do and how sensitive it is and he could be paralyzed for life and all this. And TJ's just standing there just completely freaked out because Ellie and Jim keep talking about how horrible it is and how dangerous.
Yes.
And that he's like, oh, yeah, he may never walk again, ever. And TJ's like, I'm right here. I'm standing here. Can anyone see me?
Christopher Reeve had this.
And then the worst of it all.
Here it is.
She says to Natty's parents, Jim and Ellie Neidhart, does anyone want a cup of coffee or a bottle of vodka?
Oh, my God.
Not coffee or tea, coffee or water, coffee or vodka. It's one or the other. To her father.
Yes.
That she sent to rehab. Called
yes.
up Dan Spivey, said, my
yes.
father's a severe alcoholic, needs help. And then she's like, well, I'm having a bad day. Here's a bottle of vodka for you to drink, Daddy.
This goddamn idiot, she spent almost all last season discussing how her father couldn't drink. At WrestleMania, she wouldn't even let him go out to dinner with his fucking friends because she was worried there'd be goddamn wine there. And the first thing, when this fucking man comes to her house, the first thing she does is offer him vodka.
And not even a shot. She didn't say, do you want a shot of vodka?
A bottle of vodka.
A full bottle.
An entire bottle. Ellie said she wanted it.
Yeah, Ellie was like, oh, I want a bottle. Yeah. I don't know about Daddy. Yeah.
And Jim's just like, what the fuck is going on? I thought this was a safe space. She's fucking offering me booze? Ah! I want to see the flip out that came when he grabbed that bottle, fucking hammered it down, grabbed all of fucking TJ's pain pills, fucking guzzling them down. Then he's fucking getting all the water out of that refrigerator, just having a good time. So what else about Natty?
That's about all she was in.
Yeah. Yeah, not much. Now. Man, I don't know who I want to talk about next. I'm going to talk about Dolph Ziggler next. Motherfucking Dolph Ziggler. God damn it. Did you hate Dolph Ziggler?
Not enough to put him at number 2. He was at my number 3.
All right. Well, I'm going to explain it, because this motherfucker wants to cuckold John Cena right off the bat, and that's fucking geek, and you don't get a cuckold John Cena. No one does. John Cena is the fucking man. If Nikki Bella wants to go fuck some dude, then he's done. John Cena will just move on to some other broad, because he's fucking John Cena. All right, so this fucking geek, Dolph Ziggler, the first thing that happens is sexually assaults Nikki Bella in the parking lot. Just sexually assaults her. And then he tells her, he claims out loud to the world that this woman is settling for John Cena. Settling for it. Like, imagine a world where someone thinks it's possible. They're settling for John Cena when instead they could have a fucking colossal dork like goddamn Dolph Ziggler. Jesus, fuck. So ridiculous. And then the fucking geek just mocking John Cena when his feet are just a goddamn fish bowl full of koi fish. Jesus Christ, I was livid at this point. This fucking geek is hanging out with his feet getting nibbled on by goddamn little goldfish talking about how stupid John Cena is and how it sucks and like laughing at these things about it. And I'm just like, it's John fucking Cena when goddamn nobody geek that no one remember it immediately as soon as you're off TV. While his feet are just nibbled by little fish. Just fish! Nibbling this man's feet. And he's talking shit on another man. While his feet. Ugh. I hate Ziggler.
Now, I had him at number three. It was pretty horrible. Now, they resumed from where we left off in season four. And he's like, oh, well, since John Cena's in the building, it'd be a perfect time to attempt to make out with his girlfriend in a public place where people's walking by us. Who would do that? Who would do that? And then he spends the rest of the episode just prating around half naked, and Nikki's like, why are you half naked? And he's like, oh, well, I'm wearing pants. She's like, yeah, but you're not wearing a shirt. And he's like, oh, no, if you wear a pants, you're not half naked.
But he had a hat, too, didn't he? Didn't he have some Nikki hat?
Yeah, he had a hat. And
but he's not half naked. He's, percent
maybe, but Nikki's like, oh, I'm going to tell John Cena, but I'm going to wait to do it. I'm just going to pretend to tell him and then not. And Dolph's like, oh, well, I'm going to go tell him right now. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to marry your broad, knock her up. And Nikki's like, no, I have to tell him that's what you want to do. And he's like, no, I want to tell him that's what I want to do. And it got ridiculous. I'm like, well,
yes.
She's going to wreck your sports car, and you're going to have to pay to get it fixed, and you don't make John Cena money.
No.
And like every other month, she's going to want a new house. I don't see that many Dolph Ziggler T-shirts out there. You can afford 18 homes. With elevators going from closet to closet, but she's going to demand it.
She's settling for John Cena.
Yeah. And the thing that really infuriated me with him is Brie Bella is like, oh, stay away from my sister and don't hold her hand or kiss her or anything, because I'll look through this basketball at you, because you won't think I'm here, but really I'm just standing here holding a basketball, which will make me invisible. And Dolph Ziggler's like, oh, I've known her for 7 years. 7 years. Known her for 7 years. Like, the whole rest of the episode, he keeps talking about they've known each other for 7 years. I'm like, doesn't make it any less creepy.
No. Ugh, Dolph Ziggler.
Like he could have known her for 50 years. Wouldn't mean it wasn't creepy when he's, like, trying to... like, grab her hands and, like, play goose with her and all kinds of weird stuff he was doing back there. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was on something. Definitely on something.
All hopped up on goofballs.
He was on something and just running around like he was, like, an 8-year-old.
He is on fucking narcissism, just like Reba. He thinks he's better than John Cena. Can you imagine?
Maybe because remember when they changed the poster? Like, it used to be Lesnar, Nikki, and Cena. And they took Brock Lesnar out and they put Dolph Ziggler in it.
Yes, I guess he's better than John Cena. It's been confirmed.
No, Lesnar. Because they erased Lesnar, put in Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah. Lesnar's a fucking geek anyway. He got destroyed by Wyatt, so he means nothing. So, maybe Ziggler's the new top guy. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. And remember, they were making fun of it. They were like, oh, I bet Ziggler's holding Nikki's hand behind Cena's back in the picture, and they giggled and giggled.
Yeah, fucking Dolph Ziggler, the guy that looks like what I imagine Motley Crue's leather pants like. Dolph Ziggler's the top guy. Fuck Dolph Ziggler.
Which song do you think that the pants would be worn? What part of the concert would they be in when that pants got worn? Because I'm sure there's costume changes.
It'd definitely be Shout at the Devil. You would definitely go with more of a leather there. But I think I'm thinking more of the early 80s leather pants they would wear when they wouldn't change them for a week on end. See who could get to smell the dirtiest while still having sex with the women. The guys that were dipping their wieners in breakfast burritos so their girlfriends would smell the other women on them. I'm thinking of that Motley Crue, not modern Motley Crue. Though, I imagine what old-ass men probably have fun, like, gross-ass Depends like, on. I can't imagine their faculties all work properly. They're probably shitting pants on the reg, so maybe their pants would smell worse. I don't know. When do you think they would smell worse?
1987.
I agree with you. All right, who else did you hate?
Number two, I had Nikki. Oh.
Yes, me too.
Nikki morphed into a 13-year-old girl in this episode. Just like, it was complete junior high stuff between her and Ziggler. Rather than going to scene and say, some guy just tried to assault me. Tried to make out with me in the back in front of a bunch of production people. She's like, I'll tell him when we're getting on the plane. And then they're getting on the plane. I'll tell him when we're in Japan. I'll tell him after the match. Why not tell him, hey, this guy just assaulted me. Get him fired. Because that's what she does. She's like, oh, I think I'll get this person fired. And she goes, whoever gets him fired, ask Christy Hemme. She'll tell you. Or the other brought Maria Kanellis.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Maria has to be a geek in TNA with an even bigger geek, so that's sad. She should be a big star.
Now, instead of doing that, which would be reasonable, she's just like, ooh, doll, ha 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 ha, I'll tell John. Eventually. And the first thing she does with Brie Bella is she's walking away from John Cena in Total Dialogue. Should we tell Paige?
Yes, immediately go to Paige.
Like, don't go to Carano or Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon. Anyone in the office, go to Paige.
Because there's such a shortage of gossip in this company. Everyone, all these women are very, very, they keep things to themselves when they're told them.
But she did have the foresight to say, don't tell Natty because she'll tell everyone in the company. Which we proved that last week when we wrapped up season two, when Natty gathered 20 people around to tell what had happened with Nikki in the wedding. But she's like, let's hide this from John, and then I'll tell him weeks later, after the fact, because that won't make it look worse at all.
Yes.
She'll be like, hey, remember a month ago when I tried to interrupt your live interview and then I didn't say anything? It was because Dolph Ziggler tried to make out with me a month ago. And the 18 other times I've seen him this month, he's tried it again.
Let's. What did you think about this whole fish foot business?
That was some odd stuff.
That fish foot business was. She got bit by one, allegedly. Do you think that fish bit her?
I don't think so. I think she probably stepped on a sharp edge on that cement floor. Because I'm sure it's just like a cement pool.
Oh, brother. The thing with Nikki that really made me crazy was the scene where she finally goes to, she's going to tell John about the Ziggy stuff. And he says, John's never been in a situation before where an ex-wife shows up and proposes to me, and it's a fucking guy he works with, and whose life is in his hands all the time. And it's just weird because he didn't get it. Who's ever been in a situation like that? No one!
I don't know. Although, it reminded me instantly that whole situation of when The Rock did the Rock concert leading up to WrestleMania 30. Do you recall that?
Was that when he did the song about Surface Guerrero?
No, he was singing about John Cena and Eve, and he's like singing about how John Cena was making out with Eve, and he's like, yeah, John Cena was having the time of his life. John Cena must have forgot he already had a wife.
Ugh, don't remind me of that stuff. Ugh.
Reminded me instantly, and I'm like, well, he's been in a situation, apparently, because The Rock sang about it.
Ugh.
Pretty similar.
Right. Did we get, who liked? Did we get everybody we hated?
I think so.
All right,
now, my number three was John Cena.
No.
Now, he goes to Japan.
Oh, let me tell you, his response to this stuff from Nikki, which I get it, he's fucking John Cena, he does what he wants. But I'd be throwing shit all over that damn restaurant, causing a scene, screaming like, where's he at? Give me your phone, I'm caught. You know, like, I was in my mind flipping out. I've done it before.
I'll get to it. With John Cena, he goes to Japan, and he wrestles, I don't know what they had, two or three matches. Had his tag match with Ziggler. Then he goes to dinner with Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a wine while she's drinking sake. And she lays this whole thing out. She's like, oh, yeah, a month ago this happened. And, you know, she's thinking in her 13-year-old mind, he'll flip out in front of all these strange Japanese people and start throwing stuff and kicking the table over. And I'll tweet and Instagram it, and that'll be great.
Ex Bruiser Brody, he'd be a star.
But then John Cena became the smartest human being in the history of the planet, and he's like, now's my chance. It's my one chance to get out of this. And he says, well, I'll let you go if that's what you want. I'd be stupid to not let you go. You're free. Go ahead. Go marry Dolph Ziggler. Have babies. That's good. He was like, it's my chance, finally. No more wrecked sports cars. No more water on the floor. No more getting the laundry into the wrong basket. None of this. He was free. He was going to be able to have his house in the order he liked it. He was going to be able to live his life like John Cena wants to live his life. He'd be a free man. He was probably thinking, what can I mail to Dolph Ziggler to thank him? He was so relieved. He's just like, oh, don't stand in your way. Go ahead. He would have jumped up on that table and danced a jig if he could.
Yeah.
And
man,
that scene with the waiter, where the waiter comes up and he's like, would you like some coffee or tea? And John's
I'll stick
with wine. It's about to get interesting. That was the greatest line he'd ever said anywhere. Although I was kind of interested to see what type of tea he would order.
I don't know. I mean, when you get a chance to, like, lose your mind and throw shit, you got to take it.
No, because he was free. He was happy. Why would he throw stuff? Why would he be like, no, I won't let you go to Dolph Ziggler? Because then she would stay with John Cena. He was like, go ahead, shoo.
Start throwing things around, lost his mind, punched a Japanese fellow. It would have been awesome. He would have been the biggest star in the world.
But why would he do that? He'd be stuck with her. She'd be like, oh, I'll never leave you because look what you do.
Yeah.
Instead,
right,
he was like, yeah, run off. Go ahead. That's fine. I understand.
Right.
I'm a loser here. But really, in his head, he was thinking, no, I'm not. I'm the biggest winner there is. He was thinking 17-time world champion, because that's the equivalent of winning the world title. Being rid of
that's
Nikki Bella.
I'm going to say one of my favorites this episode was getting sweet Saraya Knight on here. She called
her
daughter Paige. She was amazing. She's you can't call your bloody mom. She's terrifying. You can't call your bloody mom when you get engaged. You're a muffin. I'm the scariest woman in the entire world. And Paige was terrified even through her phone. And Paige hung up, ran away, and hid. She didn't want to be near that phone. She was afraid Soraya was jumping out of that phone and murder her. She's terrifying.
She's awfully mocking her.
No, Paige horrified this woman. As anyone,
she was laughing at it.
Nope, she was not. She was laughing outwardly, but inside it was total terror. She knows this woman better than anyone. She grew up with sweet Soraya Knight as her mother. Imagine that. The scariest one on earth is your mom just going, get out of your room, bloody cut. I'm coming out. And I was like, oh, don't do it. Just stop talking. It's so scary. So I hope she's on an episode because Soraya Knight's the best.
They did show her in the clips.
That's what Beth said. I didn't know. It, but yeah, so I hope she's on all the time, and then they send her to a contract, and she beats Brock Lesnar for the belt. She's hot.
Did you know Soraya Knight wrestled for one of the local Portland independent groups last year?
Oh, really?
Yes.
She's awesome. She's so awesome. All right, so who'd you like next?
Number two, I had Kevin.
Okay.
Now, this fella, Kevin, he goes to the airport, picks up Paige from Japan. You know, he's like, oh, I'm not busy. I'll pick you up from the airport. He probably didn't really want to, but he's like, she needs a ride. I'll do it. And then, you know, going down the road, he's like, hey, that really expensive diamond ring I bought you last season's missing. And she's like, oh, it's in my bag. And he's like, well, why is it in your bag? And she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't want to lose it. And he's like, oh, that makes sense. And they get home, and he's like, hey, we should plan the wedding because my parents are coming, and they're going to want to know all the plans because they'll just start bombarding you with these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I don't care about any of it. And he's like, what do you mean you don't care about any of it? You're getting married. You should care about every detail. You're the one that's planning it, and I don't want to plan it by myself because I don't want you to hate it. And then Soraya Knight calls in and starts screaming. And Paige is like, I laugh at you, Soraya Knight, and hangs up. And he's like, well, that scared me, but you know, my parents will be just as bad or worse because they'll be here in person, so could you maybe throw some ideas out for the venue or the wedding guest or whatever? And she's like, I don't care about any of it, and I don't want to be married. And Kevin just stops and he's like, odd that you said yes and accepted the ring, but okay. He didn't flip out either. He didn't start throwing stuff, didn't start punching the walls. He was like, I'm free of the really odd, crazy English chick. Free. Free like John Cena. I'm thinking Kevin and John Cena will form a band and go around the country playing many concerts singing songs about being free.
Kevin Scaff, not a fan. The geek. The Anvil. Oh, the Anvil. So, what made me love the Anvil was he used the infamous Natty line when things were going wrong in there. He just yells out, that's one more shrimp on the Barbie. It's just an old Nightmare family saying that things are going wrong, and I love it.
See, I had Anvil my number one for that reason, but the way I interpret it, he was mocking her by using it.
Oh, you think so? Because I don't think he has that brain capacity.
I think he does, because he's like so used to hearing it at WrestleMania, because all she said through WrestleMania, throw another shrimp on the Barbie, throw another shrimp on the Barbie. She flipped out over that tie that Anvil didn't care about. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie. She forgot Dominatrix outfit. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
But here's
what
I think.
So he picked up on it.
Yeah, but here's what I think, though. I think that's something that would be so small in the show that it wouldn't be enough for most people to pick up on. And I don't think
Anvil did, because think how long he's known her.
Yeah, but I think everything on the show is scripted, so.
Nah. I think he just was trying to mock her.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Oh, last person I liked at all was Daniel Bryan. I mean, he kind of sucked at times. He wasn't using the opportunity to way free like all the other fellows did in this episode. But he's just very passionate about dreams and refuses to give up at even possibly the cost of his own life. And that's a hero. If you look up, you know, if you think what a hero is, that would be a hero. So I admire him. Plus, I took him to Taco Bell once.
We have to confirm that in February.
Oh, I confirmed it. I remember.
Well, then why do you have to ask him?
Well, I just want to see if he remembers.
Well, what if he doesn't? What if he's like, that never happened?
I'll be very sad because I think it'll be just as special as a moment for him as it was for me.
Yeah, but if he's like, I'm sorry that never happened, we don't really have confirmation. We just have your side versus his side.
Hmm. Well, anyone else you liked?
That was my three. But Daniel Bryan, I was pretty wishy-washy. I felt badly for him, but at the same time, he just let his wife walk all over him. He never said, no, I'm not going to go to that booth and sit there and sell Brie boxes and Bryan boxes. And he just could have said, no, I refuse to do this. It's not my passion. But instead, he's like, oh, so I have to go do this, huh? Oh, have to go sell those boxes, huh? Oh, okay. All right, oh, you want me to go meet with these two broads that are going to get highly uncomfortable when we start arguing about if my career is finished or not? Oh, okay. And I did feel badly for those two broads because they were just trying to have a business meeting, and they're like, oh, celebrities want to work with us. This is fantastic. And they're trying to explain their business, which most assuredly Daniel Bryan didn't understand, nor did anyone listening to it, because they didn't really actually explain it enough that you knew what they were selling. But when Brie and Bryan got into this like argument, you could tell in their eyes they would have rather been anywhere else. They were like, we were excited when we woke up this morning for this meeting, but now we don't want to be here. We wish we would went with some other local celebrities, anyone. The local guy that does the report on pig farming, on the radio, anything. Anything other than this, because it went down a road. Those two broads were not prepared. They didn't know what to say. So the one of them, all she could think of to say was, well, on that note, and then just go into her, we could make Bryan boxes.
Okay.
Do you think that WWE would have allowed the Bryan boxes?
No. I don't think so. They tried to not sell anything of them. So, I mean, they made so much great merchandise of that man when he was super over, but didn't, because I know, because I bought everything of it.
Now, do you think that they would allow the Bella brand to be sold at a local farmer's market?
Yes. Yes, they do. Because where else would you sell it?
Well, on their shop.com. You really think that they're going to be like, well, sure, you can sell your brand at this farmer's market that we have no control over and let two bootleggers draw with crayons and markers on a cardboard box and try to pass it off as legitimate WWE merchandise to
the dumbass
really naive local townspeople.
Dumbass Wiccans trying to fucking sell their stupid fucking bullshit. Like, you need this ointment to put on your body before you go out into the woods and day around the bonfire naked. is me, your respect to Mother of the Earth. Fucking hippie, Wiccan bullshit.
I don't think they would have got away with it. I think that passion Brie Bella came up with was misdirected.
Pretty stupid. It's pretty stupid. We can all agree on that. Yes.
What do you think was in the box? What would they have put into a Brie Bella box? Because they never explained it.
I'm assuming it was all just booze. You said they were bootleggers. What else would Brie Bella sell?
Possibly.
Brie Mode Man Bourbon. Brie Mode Strawberry Brandy. And don't forget your Brie Mode. I don't know. What's what you have? A nice mead. Some sort of mead. Brie Mead. Oh,
now, do you think that Baskin Robbins at some point will come out with the Brie Mode ice cream?
No, it would be a Brie Hollamode. It would be a piece of pie.
I could see him coming out with
Brie.
Imagine a wine flavored ice cream, and they called it Brie Mode.
Yes, yes.
It would be huge.
There's some delicious beer ice creams that are out there. I don't know that I've sampled any like other. I had one that had like Jack Daniel's maple whiskey maple. So I don't remember.
Do you ever go down to the CB and order their sundae with the beer in it?
Nope, never have in my life.
Well, could you maybe do that and report back next week during Total Scoops?
I think we should just turn this to a show of ice cream and other delicious treats. I could do hours of just talking about my favorite treats. I don't have to scream either. I'll be so much happier. Although I'll have to scream when I think about the ones going away. What do you got going on, Sign Guy?
Well, Friday on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, we have Petrov of NWA Blue Collar, former of the Sign of the Times 24/7 International YouTube Heritage Heavyweight title holder. Then I got a beeline to Bremerton, Washington, the I'm not actually going to move there. I'm just going to work there. And then the UIWA World Champion Superstar Steve Stardom, who is assuredly not Stomping Steve, no matter what was said on Kevin Sullivan's Up to the Task show last night. He will be in town for a world title defense Saturday back in Bremerton. Then Sunday we have AIWF representative Matt Classic on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And then I got a beeline down to Portland.
Matt Classic?
Yes.
Nice. All right. It's my birthday Sunday.
Is it like the actual birthdays, or is it one of those days where you like assign a number and put it with a random day and call it your birthday?
It's my birthday, January 24th. I was born on January 24th, 1980. In Columbus Regional Hospital to two beautiful parents, David Sharp, Mary Sharp, two young kids just didn't know where their life was going to take them. They had their whole future ahead of them, and then I came and ruined all that for them.
Now, do you think that, let's say the young man, let's say he had like a passion, a dream.
Yes.
And then
he did.
Like a mild injury, and he was hurt. Young woman was like, instead of your passion and dream, take these dandelions down to the farmer's market and sell them for me.
No,
that'll be your new passion.
My father's passion was these like reenactments of mountain men stuff, like we were talking about, kind of living coureur de bois style. That was his passion. But then, you know, it's hard to do once you have a young child. Then his passion just became fishing all the time. Because that let him get away from all of us, I think. So, yeah, he just fishing all the time.
Does he ever go up into Alaska and do a little bit of salmon fishing?
No. My grandfather has done that. My father has not.
Well, maybe you and he should go up to Alaska and do some salmon fishing.
I would never do that ever. That sounds like the worst trip of my life. Being stuck with my dad, who I love him, he's a great man, but being stuck with my goddamn dad in fucking nowhere Alaska, going out, fighting off bears for fucking salmon.
You actually, you'd be more in the Bering Strait.
You'd be in the Bering Strait.
Telling you, you could get some nice salmon.
Salmon's fine, but I prefer my panfish. I prefer my catfish. I prefer, you know, there's nothing better than catfish. That's the best fish. That's just all I
don't know if they have catfish in Alaska.
No, that's because I'm not going. I'm going to go fishing here in Indiana and get some delicious bass, some nice largemouth bass, some large crappie. Oh, I'll eat all delicious fish.
Sounds kind of dull.
Nope. They're
if
delicious.
If you're fishing, you're going to go down to, like, Marsh and order something from the seafood deli.
Nope. I'm an adult.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it's going to be. Because everyone knows you wouldn't even make it to the part where you bait the hook. You'd be like, man, I'm bit at all. I got to get out of here. And they'd be like, you have to bait the hook. You'd be like, nope. Waited long enough. It's been 17 hours. They'd be like, 30 seconds. You're like, that's almost 17 hours. And you would just take off down to the Dairy Queen.
That's the only reason I'll go fish this, because I can get Dairy Queen out. Those little fucking beemoths, though, those things are gross. Like those fucking little beemoths.
Now, do you go to the bait store there?
Oh, yeah.
Near the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, they went there by the, I guess you call it Fall of some sort, and whatever that is. I can't think of the name of it. My dad actually sells his fishing lures he makes in there, as well as other bait shops across the area. All right. I think that's enough. So, let's just stop. Bye.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.